sure it's special to get to relive those moments as we look at that. So there's another question that I really want you to think about, and that question is, what would you be doing if you found out that you only had one day to live? So the reason why I want you to think about this question is because none of us are ever guaranteed tomorrow. We often say, you know, I'll clean out the garage tomorrow, or I'll just do the dishes tomorrow, or I'll go see that family member tomorrow, or I'll quit smoking tomorrow, or quit drinking tomorrow. But the fact is that we're never guaranteed another tomorrow. So because of the lifestyle that I used to live, I never thought that I'd live to be 44 years old. It's a bad feeling to just not know if you're going to live or die. But up to this point, because of God's grace and mercy, He's given me a whole bunch of tomorrows. And a matter of fact, He's given me 16,237 tomorrows.
That's some quick math.
Yeah, you like that, Jay? But the truth is, y'all, is that we're never guaranteed another tomorrow. Tomorrow we just might not ever get another tomorrow. So how should we be living if we're not guaranteed another tomorrow?
Yeah, time is short, and every once in a while we click into that, but most of us don't live that way. But there's a passage we're going to be reading in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 7. It's on the same concept. So it says, the end of the world is coming soon. It's talking about that Jesus is going to come back for a second time. He's going to change everything when He comes back. And it's going to be an end of a lot of things that folks are living for right now. And even for us individually, none of us know, like Marcus was saying, that we're guaranteed tomorrow. So the whole passage we're reading today is saying, make the best use of your time because you don't know how much time you have. The first thing it says, since you don't have a lot of time, first thing it says is, therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most of us, when we think, oh, I don't have enough time, prayer's the last thing we're giving much thought to. But right out of the gate here, it says, be disciplined with your prayers. Grow in your prayers. Treat it like a weightlifting program. Go at it in such a way of like, I want to get stronger and stronger and stronger in prayer. Because right out of the gate, if you're going to make good use of your short time, then you need to talk with God. You need to have a conversation with God about it. So, Marcus, you want to do verse 8 for us?
Yeah, so verse 8 says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sin. So what is this love that covers a multitude of sin? So, Jake, you know, I really have to confess to you that, you know, that I'm not this mathematician, that I know you're thinking that you want me on the budget team. And I know that a lot of you guys are thinking, you know what, I really want Marcus to come run my company because he can do some math real fast, right? But here's the deal, Jake. I did all that math before I got here.
I thought all of our math problems were solved at the church.
So all your plans for me, you're just going to have to cancel. But I really hope that you can forgive me, and I hope all of you can forgive me.
I can forgive you. It's okay.
So it's that type of love right there, that whenever we've done somebody wrong or whenever somebody else has done us wrong, whether you're on either side of that, that you can say, I forgive you. It's the love of Jesus, what He's done for us, that we get to pour out that same type of love into other people.
And you can see this in your past. Think about how much time you've maybe wasted in bitterness or in hate. And the reality is life's short. Loving other people is the way to make the best use of our time. Once we've connected with God, then we're ready to love other people. Then verse 9 says, cheerfully share your home with those in need who need a meal or a place to stay. We don't have a lot of time on earth. One of the best ways to spend it is to share with other people. Share the good stuff that God's given you. And we're going to really dive into these last couple verses, 10 and 9. It says, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of gifts. Anytime we have a promise in the Bible, we need to stop and say, do I really believe that? Because if you don't have faith for the good things that God's promised you, then you can't have the strength to carry out the obedience, okay? If you don't trust Him on the good things, you're not going to have the strength to do the hard things. So right out of the gate, He says, I'm giving you each gifts. I have so many different gifts to offer, but God's saying he's giving every single person who's following him some sort of gift. So answer that to yourself right now. Do you believe what 1 Peter says? Do you believe that God's gifted you? He's put something good in you. Because you can't do the rest of this unless you believe that. That there's a reason you're still alive, even if you've hurt a lot of other people, there's something good that God's put in you. You don't have to wait till you're a certain age or you're not too old to use it. God's given it to you. And he says, use them well to serve one another. Don't use all your stuff just to take care of yourself. Serve other people. He gets specific for us in verse 11. He says, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Let Jesus power that gift. And he says, do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. And this says NIV. It's actually the New Living. I've got that wrong. That's a typo here on the slides. But that phrase there, do everything with the strength and energy that God provides. Every single one of us has some sort of talents or gifts, but there's very different outcomes when we do things for ourselves than when we do things with Jesus shining through us. And it's easy to say that on stage or read it in the Bible, but it looks different in real life, or it's more graphic, it's easier to lay your hands on. And so Marcus has got some awesome stories, starting, unfortunately, tragically, with what does it look like when you use your gifts just for yourself. And, you know, if you know Marcus very well, Marcus is this including guy. Marcus is this guy who quickly makes friends, who quickly draws people into the stuff that he's doing. But Marcus, talk to us about in the middle 90s, you were living a totally different lifestyle and how that all played out.
Yeah, so back in, right after I got out of high school, I was staying in a house in Rosedale, Kansas. Well, one night we was up all night, and I'd seen this figure walk past the front window, and I knew somebody was coming towards the door. So I got behind the door, and a friend of mine was on the other side of the door, and this barrel of the shotgun, they opened up the door, and this barrel of the shotgun pushes the door open. And, you know, then I slowly pushed the door shut, and then he pushed the door open again, and at the same time, I'm sitting there talking to my friend that's on the other side of the door and doing this 1-2-3 motion. And at that third time that he pushed that door open, my friend Gary grabs the shotgun, wrestles away from the guy, and as he's running up the street towards the car, you know, he shoots him right in the butt. So directly after that happened, a couple days later, these kids come to the front door. And, man, in the middle of the night, they look like adults. I'm young then, too. You know, I'm like 19 years old. But they were a lot younger, 14, 15 years old. They come to the door and say, hey, you think we can get our dad's shotgun back? Like, what? Are you serious? What? So, like, you guys come back and do this to me again? And, you know, it was crazy because within a couple weeks, I'd done included these kids on all the bad stuff that I was doing there too, you know.
When I heard that part of the story, a lot of people would tell me that. I think, well, how did that happen? But knowing Marcus, it didn't surprise me at all that people that were trying to rob you, then 2 weeks later, they're friends and wanting to hang out with you. Like, Marcus has that natural gift of making friends. The problem is, though, you're involving them in all this stuff. How does that play out?
So two or three weeks later, we're all partying on the front porch, and this guy comes by in this red Mazda B2000 pickup truck and jumps out of the truck, and he's waving his arms around, and he's saying, you know, you gangbangers, get out of here, and all this stuff. And, you know, so I walked out there all calm, and I said, you know, hey, you better get back in your truck or else everybody off this porch is going to come at you. And, you know, he took a swing at me, and I hit him, and he fell to the ground. And, you know, right then, everybody came off that porch, throwing their beer bottles at him, throwing their beer bottles at his truck, kicking, hitting him, everything. And, you know, one of those beer bottles goes through the back window of that truck and hits his wife. And, you know, after the guy picked himself up off the ground and got into the car, he leaves, and we take the party to the backyard. And, you know, we kept partying all day long and totally forgot about that guy that we did that to. And later that day, got a phone call to take some weed somewhere. And, you know, I go to walk out the front door, and then Rogelio Herrera was his name. He went in front of me. Well, that guy had went to Walmart and bought 30-odd six shells. And the very first person that walked out that door that day got shot right between the eyes and blew the whole backside of his head out at me. And his mom came down there, and I'm not going to tell the rest of the story, but that kid died on the front porch of the house that day.
Yeah, there's so much going on in this story, right? That Marcus is caught up in this whirlwind where he's bringing other people along, these young teenage guys, and then they're caught up in all this mess that Marcus is doing. And then, all right, take it at any stage, right? And then you got this other guy with his wife. It's just a tragedy, like, all around. It's just ruining lots and lots of lives. And you have someone dying right there next to Marcus on the porch. So I tell you that whole story because that's an example of what happens when we just do our life powered by us. Is there starts to be all these ripple effects of other people getting hurt and us getting hurt. And, you know, Boy Scouts right here in the front, like, you're going to have these temptations where no one's going to be around you, like Marcus had, and you decide, how am I going to do these steps in my life? And the ripple effects can be gigantic when you choose to say, I'm going to do what feels good right now, no matter who it hurts. I'm going to use the strength that I have for myself instead of for other people. And unfortunately, Marcus's story is not unique to Maywood. I heard all sorts of stories about people involved with other people getting killed, other people's lives getting ruined, their lives getting ruined, kids getting taken, all sorts of stuff, because they've taken the strength that God's given them and they've used it in a selfish way. And we've all done that sort of stuff. I've done that sort of stuff. We hurt people. So what's the other side of it, though? Now you've come to Jesus. You've given your life to him. You've let go of all that addiction, all that stuff, all that darkness. Now how are you using those same gifts with Jesus?
So, Jake, let me first tell you how I discovered that I have this gift of being an includer. So it was one Saturday morning. Joe Calhoun had invited a bunch of people to take his class. The Strength Gallup Strengths Finder is what the name of it was. We all sat down and answered a series of questions. And by answering a series of questions, it tells you that you're gifted in this, 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 or this. And then, so I learned that one of my very top gift was being an includer, and I think that the next one was woo, which was winning others over, and the next one was encourager. So, you know, I had no idea at this time back then that I had this gift of includer, but once I discovered that I had this gift of includer, man, I need to do something with it. Well, I was already doing something before with it. Now I get to do something with Jesus with it. So one of the things I get to do with Jesus, and it's a gift that I get to have people over to my house and include a whole bunch of people, guys and gals, in cooking food, sharing the Chiefs game with me, cleaning up. Some of them are getting better at cleaning up than others, but they have that option, you know what I'm saying? But so these are some pictures here. Look at all them people there. You know, I only have a two-bedroom house. And whenever the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, everybody's jumping up and down. I thought my house was going to fall in for real.
I heard people were on the front porch watching through the window. There were so many people there. Like,
yeah, I wish I could have got that picture because, you know, people peeking the other way in the windows was definitely different. But, yeah, so, you know, I'd like to invite Lester up on stage. So, Lester, so now I get to share this gift of including with other people, and Lester's one of the guys that comes to my house, And Lester, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's happened in your life since you started coming to?
Okay, so everybody knows, especially my walk or the people that I knew before I came to Christ, that I have a bad mouth, like I cuss a lot. And so I've been going to Marcus's for Chiefs Sunday and Monday nights for about 3 years. And I'm cussing the officials. I'm cussing, like, one of my gifts is cheerleading for the Chiefs. So
first and 10, we did it again.
And I like it. So it's been pretty amazing because, like I said, I used to cuss the officials. I used to get upset. And I noticed, you know, when you're around godly people or Christians, they'll wince when you say drop the F-bomb and stuff like that. And I noticed that and Marcus would say, hey, dude, we don't talk like that, you know. And it's just been amazing because, like, so my cussing has, like, slowed down. And then I made a resolution at the beginning of this season not to cuss during the Chiefs game, just to cheer. And I think I've only dropped the F-bomb one time, and that was when Patrick Mahomes' kneecap got dislocated, which is still wrong. But, like, it's been amazing, and I'm just doing – and it's rubbed off on me in my regular life, too. Like, I don't cuss like I used to cuss, so.
Yeah. Good stuff, Russell.
And we've got the green mic going too, Duane, if that's okay. I'll give that one to you. So here's a question I've got for you, Lester. When I heard, you know, I knew Mark as a story, but I heard about something on the Super Bowl that happened to you on the porch. And that's what really kind of drew a lot of these stories together. So talk to us about, you know, Chiefs win the Super Bowl, all of Kansas City is excited, but how did it really hit you?
So I'm a big Chiefs fan, like I said, and I've waited my whole life for the Chiefs to even make the Super Bowl, let alone win it. And so I was filled with so much joy over winning the Super Bowl that, you know, I hugged a few people and, like, wait a minute. I ran out on Marcus's back porch and I hit my knees and I threw up my hands and I gave all glory to God. And I wanted to share that joy with him and let him know that I know that he's the reason for everything in my life today. And I just wanted to share that with God because I was sharing it with my best friends. And really, I had an awakening, like, wait a minute, you're missing something, dude. So, like, go out and share it with your really best friend, right? So
yeah, that's awesome. You know, in your younger days, I guess, actually, but back in the past, you had said things like, if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, like, I can die happy. Like, that's all you wanted in life at some point. You're a big fan, and there's a lot of mess going on in the rest of your life. But today, talk to me about, like, how life is full because of Jesus now today.
So today, cussing is just one thing that God has taken out of my life. The greatest thing besides my kids being born is the obsession to use drugs and alcohol have been lifted. Like, I don't think about that anymore. In May of this year, I'll have 5 years sobriety. I have a job working at Comprehensive Mental Health, the Gateway Program, where I get to work with other drug addicts and alcoholics on a daily basis. So I never could have imagined the life that I'd have today because of Christ, because of God, all the godly people. Like, I've been praying every day since I got sober for God to keep putting godly people in my path, and, like, there's like 300 or 400 people here today, so thank you, Jesus. And I've just recently remarried my ex-wife of 22 years, Gina.
So picture that in your mind. I mean, Marcus's first story about the porch, it's so graphic, you don't want to really picture it, right? But then you have this person who's got this overflow of new life on Marcus's porch. The difference is Marcus is using his gifts and letting Jesus use his gifts is the better way to say it. Right? Every single one of us has gifts, but we're either going to destroy stuff or build with Jesus. There's no other way to build. You will hurt people if you don't work with Jesus. And there's ripple effects in that, right? So Marcus, drive us home, man.
So first of all, I want to say that I'm really happy to share this service with Troop 201. I had two brothers that were in Troop 201 that by a series of bad choices are no longer with us. You know, I was doing a lot of those bad choices with them too. And I really liked the thing that you got, you started off the service with was the, what was that called?
Scout oath,
right? The scout oath, like I think that if my brothers would have been doing that the whole time and using that, they'd still be with us. So, you know, we have a choice today. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We have a choice whether or not we're going to look for these gifts that Jesus has given to us. Some of us know the gifts that we have. Some of us don't. You know, I'm here if anybody wants to come find me and talk to me about what their gifts are. Joe's here. I'm sure Joe would love to help you find your gifts. Jake's here. If any of you guys need to find your gifts, there's no time like the present. Don't wait till tomorrow. I'm sure that my two brothers would have, you know, I'm sure that they would have loved to find their gifts and use them.
Thank you, Marcus. And we're going to have one song to respond. The worship team is coming up. But don't miss what Marcus is saying. Time is really short, and the ripple effects of the decisions you make, like they will leave these impacts on people forever. But we all have this opportunity to do something good with Jesus today. So we're going to do one song. If you are a small group leader at Maywood, I'd ask you to come down front and be praying with people so we can pray with a lot of folks all at once. And also, Joe and Diane, if you guys would come down, because folks may want to talk to you, talk to Marcus or Lester too. But let's not leave the room without saying, Jesus, I believe you've given me a gift, and I want to use it. I want to help other people have new life. Jesus, I thank you for who you are. Help us to respond to your gift. Amen.